Welcome to Tori Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yechezkel Perek Tet, Chapter 9. We are in the middle of Yechezkel's journey to Yerushalayim. We, the readers, are not sure yet if Yechezkel is actually in the middle of a prophetic vision or has traveled to Israel, to Yerushalayim, taking us along with him on his terrible journey. Perek Tet finds us still in the Beit HaMikdash, where Yechezkel has witnessed all the strata of society engaging in deep avodah zarah, in deep idolatry. There's violence, corruption in the society, and no one will stop it since they are too enmeshed in the evil themselves. Parak 8, the last chapter, ended with the foreboding phrase from Hashem, Lo tachos einai velo echmol, I will not avert my eyes, and I will not have mercy. Perek Tet, Chapter 9, is the actualization of this directive, and it is in this perek that Yechezkel will witness part of the Chorban. To this end, a great voice rings out in Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Kervu pkudot ha'ir, v'ish kli meshcheto biyado, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, each person, each man with his destroying weapon in his hands. While in the actual Chorban, Hashem's messengers will be the Babylonians, here in our Perek, six men descend on the Beit HaMikdash, seemingly angels, and they are here to do Hashem's destructive bidding, although the Radak maintains that these men are actually the Babylonian officers being summoned by Hashem to destroy the city. In Yechezkel's vision, five of these men are described in Pasuk Bet, v'ish klei matzapo biyado, each person with his weapon in his hand. However, one of them is lavush badim v'keset hasofer b'matnav. He's wearing white linen clothes and carrying a horn full of ink, the instrument of a scribe. The white linen clothes is the outfit that, as Rav Yaakov Meidan points out, reminds us of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And then Hashem turns to each of these two groups, the scribe and the warriors, and gives each their instruction. First to the scribe, Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Vayomar Hashem elav. Hashem says to him, Avor betoch ha'ir, betoch Yerushalayim, go amongst the city, go in the midst of the city of Jerusalem, v'hitzvita tav al matzachot ha'anashim hane'enachim v'hane'enakim akol ha'toivot hanosu betocha. And you should put a mark, a tav, on the foreheads of the people within the city who sigh and cry out over all the abominations, all the terrible things that are done in the midst of the city. The scribe is told to take the ink in the ink horn that he's holding and mark the foreheads of the tzaddikim, those that did not give in to the corruption of the society, who sighed and cried over the state of their beloved city, how corrupt it is. Those people would be marked with a tav, which most of the Mefarshim explain is a letter in Ketav Ivri, meaning the ancient script, not the new Hebrew script, which is called a Ketav Ashuri, a Syrian script. But in ancient Ketav Ivri, the Tav would be an X. This, I guess, would be the first X marks the spot. Marking something with an X really comes from here. And this, explains Rav Meidan, fits with the role of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Remember, this person is dressed in white linen clothes, looking to protect the people and spare those that he can. Next, Hashem turns to the warriors in Pasuk Hei. Ula Eile Amar, and to these he says, Ba'aznai in my ears, Ivru Ba'ir, Acharav, go after him in the city, V'haku, Al Tachom Einechem, V'al Tachomu. You should strike the people in the city, after this man goes and marks the ones that you're not going to strike, strike everybody else. Do not avert your eyes and do not have mercy. We are seeing the last statement in Perek Chet in chapter 8 come to life. There will be no more chances. There will be no mercy, no erech apayim, no slowness to anger. This is the end. It is here. What follows are two horrifying verses describing the killing of the people in Jerusalem, both outside and inside the walls of the Beit HaMikdash. This horrible act of killing inside the Beit HaMikdash is only somewhat understandable because we saw in the last perek what was happening inside the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash itself was already defiled by the acts of the people within its walls. And the pasuk describes in verse 6, pasuk vav zaken bachor betula tafin hashim ta'aregu lemashchit va'al kol ish asher alav hatav al tigashu umemikdashi tachelu v'yachelu ba'anashim hazkenim asher lefnei habayit. Hashem tells these warriors, kill everybody. Kill the old, the young, the women, the children, the young, the old, but do not kill anybody who has the mark on themselves. And begin in my sanctuary. Mimikdashi tachelu. Begin here in the Beit HaMikdash. And then they did. They began with the men that were standing in front of the house. Hashem instructs these warriors to kill out an entire society except the ones that have the tav on their foreheads. It is like a warped version of the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, where the blood on the doorpost protected the Jewish houses and Hashem skipped over them. Here, the good people are protected by the ink, but it's not the Egyptians who are being slaughtered. Rather, it's the Jews. It's the society of Yerushalayim. And Hashem tells them, Umimikdashi tachelu. Start from my sanctuary, perhaps because the Beit HaMikdash at this time was the repository for idolatry. Yechezkel witnessed the people using the Beit HaMikdash to hide from Hashem, to do their evil acts in secret. And as Rabbi Yozer Mibalgansi writes, Umikdashi lo yiyeh lachem lemiklat. My Beit HaMikdash will not be a sanctuary for you. It won't be a place to escape. The association with the Beit HaMikdash will not protect the people from getting punished that Hashem is meeting out. Hashem bids the men to leave. And they do, the Hikuba ear, and hit the city. At this point, Yechezkel, the tzofeh, the mute, the one who must watch and be silent, the one who must bear witness but not act, he breaks forth from his bonds of silence in Pasuchet, Vayhi kehakutam. And as they're out there killing, v'nishar ani, and here I am alone, almost amongst the people who are spared. Here I am, Yechezkel. I'm watching this scene play out, this horrible scene. V'apla al panai, and I fall on my face, v'azak, and I cry out, v'amar, aha, Adonai Hashem, Hashem Elokim, Hashem, this is horrible. Hamashchidata ad kol sheri Yisrael, are you going to kill the entire remnant of Yisrael? V'shavchachat chamatchal Yerushalayim, when you pour out your wrath on Yerushalayim? Yechezkel, who really does not intercede, who rarely steps into his visions as a character, cannot hold himself back at the sight of the Chorban. He asks Hashem, is it really true? Will you destroy everybody? Hashem responds with the words of the last parak. The society is too corrupt, too abominable. The people in the land think Hashem can't even see them. Says Hashem, Pasuk Yud, V'gam ani lo tachos einai. They think I don't see them. I will not avert my eyes from them. V'lo echmol. I will not have mercy. This is the refrain. This is the refrain of the Chorban. I will not avert my eyes. I will not have mercy. Darkam berosham natati. Their ways on their heads I have placed. It is their own deeds that are destroying their society. It is darkam berosham. Their own ways and deeds that are coming back to hurt them. It is not Hashem. It is themselves that are hurting themselves. Hashem is just not stopping the punishment anymore. Hashem will not have mercy. He will not see. The parak ends with the man in linen returning from his job, the scribe. V'hinei ha'ish levush abadim asher hakeset b'matznav, the man wearing the linen with the inkhorn at his side, mishiv damar, he comes back and he gives a report and he says, asiti kachol asher tzivitani, I have done what you asked of me. There are a few very different perspectives to take on the parak, and they don't all work together. They're really different approaches to this parak. First, the perspective that seems to read most easily from the text, really closest perhaps to the pshat, that most of the society of Yerushalayim is horrible, but there are good people, the ones who will receive the tav on their head. They will be the ones who are saved. And Malbim points out that there's support for this reading from Sefer Yirmiyahu, from Yirmiyahu himself, because there were people in Sefer Yirmiyahu who helped him, who believed in him, and who at great risk to themselves tried to help him such as Baruch Ben Neriah, the Shafan family. And Rav Yehuda Ben Nun agrees with this approach and writes that clearly in this perek, there were people spared. And Yirmiyahu was one of them. He notes that the Babylonians spared and protected Yirmiyahu, but there were also people who were not known to the Babylonians that must have also been spared. In this way, the perek is affirming that even in a society that's as bad as the generation of the flood, that's really terrible and is going to be wiped out, there are still good people and they will be protected. The Kohen Gadol, clothed in his white linen garb, stands as a protector against the Mashrit and will attempt to inscribe the righteous in the Book of Life. That is one perspective on this parak. A second perspective, though, is really the opposite, and it comes from Yechezkel's cry. Yechezkel calls out to Hashem when he sees these warriors leave. He says, Hashem, will you kill all the people of the city? And from this perspective, you can infer perhaps that there were perhaps no good people to save. Meaning, Hashem sends out this scribe to write a tuf on the foreheads or to go see if there are people who are worthy of having the tuf on their foreheads. And perhaps he finds out that there aren't. Abarbanel posits that Yechezkel fell on his face and cried when he saw that the scribe had no foreheads to write on. Dr. Tova Genzel agrees with this perspective, and she writes in her book, in his divine vision, he does not see those people being passed over thanks to the mark on their forehead. We can infer then that by this time of the destruction, there were no righteous people being worthy of being saved. This invokes the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu in Perek Hay, where Yirmiyahu is wandering around the streets of Jerusalem looking for but one moral person and finding none. And that is a second perspective on this perek, that it emphasizes the depravity of this society, that Hashem would have even been willing to save the good people, but there just weren't any. Then we have a third perspective, and this third perspective is very raw and very interesting, and it comes from the Midrash. The Midrash comments on the word, umimikdashi tachelu, and start from my mikdash. And this midrash is brought up by Rashi and quoted, but Radak and Abarbanel really dismiss this midrashic perspective, but Rashi holds onto it and he uses it as an explanation of the words and begin with my mikdash, start with my mikdash. In Pasuk Vav, in verse 6, Hashem sends out the warriors and tells them to kill everyone starting from the mikdash. The Psha perspective is that they should kill even those who are in the Beit HaMikdash. And we know from our perspective as a reader that there are plenty of bad people in the Beit HaMikdash. The Midrash, however, rereads that phrase and says, do not read Umi Mikdashi and from my sanctuary, but Umi Mikudashi from my sanctified ones. Meaning, begin, what Hashem is telling the man in linen is begin, or the man in linen and also the warriors, begin the killing with the ones who have the tuf on their foreheads, meaning mark the tzaddikim and then kill them. And this perspective is recorded in Gemara Shabbos, Daf Nun Hay, page 55, which tells the following story. Midat Hadin, Hashem's attribute of justice, comes before Hashem and asks the following question. What is the difference between those that have the tuf on their foreheads and those that don't? Hashem responded, well, those with the tuf are tzaddikim gemurim. They're purely righteous people, while the ones without are completely evil. They're rishaim. They're terrible people. Midat Hadin responds, no, the tzaddikim only sighed at the destruction, but they didn't try to change their generation. They didn't try to warn them or rebuke them. All they did was wring their hands together and sigh, oh, how terrible things are. But they didn't try to change anything themselves. And they knew what was going on. They had a recognition of the evil of their society, but they did not stand up to it. Hashem responds back to Midat Hadin and says, well, if they had tried to change their generation, it would not have made any difference. They wouldn't have listened to them. And Midat Hadin replies, well, only you, Hashem, knew that because you know the future, but they didn't know that and they didn't try. And at the end, Hashem accepts the argument of the Midat Hadin finds these tzaddikim at fault and kills these tzaddikim as well. And it was this act that caused Yechezkel to fall on his face and cry out and say, Hashem, will you kill all of Bnei Yisrael? This is a very difficult midrash. It's hard to think about. It reminds us of one of Hashem's first statements, Yechezkel, explaining to him what his job will be. He will be the one to tell people that they are wrong. He will be the one to say that the punishment is coming. He will be the hatra'ah, the warning. And if a person knows that someone else is doing something wrong, Hashem tells this straight out to Yechezkel and does not try to change them, then they take away basically their last chance, even if that person wouldn't have changed anyway. Each of these perspectives has something to teach us about the Churban. The first teaches us that there is justice. Good people will be saved. The second one teaches us the depravity of the society that was being destroyed, as if there was no one worthy of being a tzaddik. And the third teaches us the immense value of taking the sigh over the bad and trying to turn it into action. It is in this parak that Yechezkel, standing at the Beit HaMikdash, witnesses with his own eyes the terrible destruction that is about to happen to Yerushalayim. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.